This episode of the Columbia Basin Herald Studio Basin podcast is brought to you by the Moses Lake Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber works to help businesses in and around Moses Lake flourish through networking opportunities, member-to-member savings for products and services, and connecting businesses with the resources they need to make Moses Lake a wonderful place to live, work, and play. For more information, visit moseslake.com or call the Chamber at 509-765-7888. Again, that's 509-765-7888.
Hi, everybody. My name is Ian Bavona. I'm the sports reporter here for the Columbia Basin Herald. Welcome back to the Studio Basin podcast. I'm joined, as always, by senior reporter...
as most of the time.
Yes, most of the time. Senior reporter Cheryl Schweitzer. Cheryl, Hello. How are you doing today?
I'm good.
Good.
How about you?
Not too bad. Right. March Madness
big,
going on.
Big game
on.
Tonight. Yes. You've got your Auburn shirt on. We're recording on Friday.
Yep. I'm excited about a couple teams advance already with Washington State and Gonzaga.
Yeah.
So.
And Ian is an Auburn alum. They play in Spokane this weekend.
Yep.
Don't ask why the East Regional games are in Spokane. It's an NCAA thing.
Yeah.
But yeah. Ian's ready.
A fun week in the sports, both local and collegiate going on. But we'll get into that later. We'll start off with news today. And
okay.
Cheryl, we had construction start getting underway at Sila Nanotechnologies.
Actually, it's been underway for a while. Sila Nanotechnologies is involved in... it's one of the companies that's going in out on Wheeler Road, some of the other locations around the Port of Moses Lake that are involved in... sort of advanced technology, battery technology, and some other things for that electrically powered future we keep hearing about. And our good friend Gabriel Davis did a story on them and kind of where they are in the process. They are on track, according to their manager, and they're going to be opening in the fall or sometime in 2025, at least as far as we know now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of businesses out there on Wheeler Road and some other places that are kind of involved in a lot of this technology, and what a lot of people are touting is kind of the wave of the future. And they're in Moses Lake for various reasons, but they've got a committed workforce here and fairly inexpensive power.
Mm-hmm.
It's among the things that brings them here.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
As we've heard. And when they start ramping up, they figure like 100 jobs perhaps, at least at first. There'll be more as they go on.
Right.
So that's another business out on Wheeler Road. That's something completely new and different, and here in Eastern Washington and in Grant County and in Moses Lake.
Absolutely. Well, we got that to look forward to
coming
up next year. And then you had a story this week about the speech and drama at Moses Lake High School.
It's not just, there's competitions in all kinds of things.
Yes.
State, and they do state in things like baseball and basketball and football and volleyball and stuff. But they also do state in speech and drama.
Mm.
And Moses Lake sent... the Moses Lake speech team, technically it's speech and debate. They didn't do debate this year, but it's the first year they've really been active in quite a while, and they brought home, seven kids qualified for state. One of them won a blue ribbon, brought home basically a state championship. His name was Brock Smith, he was a senior, and he did a dramatic interpretation that the judges really liked, and he took first. The drama department did some scenes from the play that they just finished a couple weeks ago called The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
And the drama club advisor said that she chose that play basically because she knew it would be the sort of thing that the judges at the state competition would really like.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big challenge for her crew, and that's what they like to see, and it actually won them... they call it Best in Fest.
No.
And they shared that with two other schools. And they brought home the highest award, which I think it was a scale of 1 to 4. And they were 4 out of 4 for their performance of the play.
Well, that's
amazing. They didn't do the whole
them.
Thing, of course, but
yeah.
they did a couple scenes from it, and they were a home run, as it were.
Definitely. If if I remember correctly from your story, I think that play was selected because it was more like character driven and it allowed
the students to
kind of display that more.
Minimal sets, some pretty challenging dramatic interpretation of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that the drama advisor said is that they try and make it as challenging for the kids as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You can't use sets, you don't have any lighting or technical help. It's just you on stage with your parts with the judges watching.
That's intense. Shout out to those suits. There's no
yes.
way I could do that. Recording the podcast is challenging enough. I don't know if I could get up on stage with
yes.
nothing to help me.
Yeah,
but.
And they did, and they pulled. They came home with, like I said, best in fest, and the best rating they could get for that.
Mm.
So, congratulations to both the newly revived speech debate club and the drama club.
Absolutely.
At Moses Lake High School.
Definitely.
Good stuff.
Shout out to everyone who went to stay. I think you said it was seven students who went
seven
there.
Seven students from the speech and debate team.
Mm-hmm.
And then just the kids who were in the play,
yeah.
which I don't know how many that was, but clearly they were on their A game.
Yes, very talented. Congratulations to them.
Congratulations to them.
And then another thing you got to do this week,
yeah.
you got to play with some robots.
I did. Samaritan Hospital recently brought in a purchased, which is expensive, $4 million, a robot to assist surgeons.
Mm-hmm.
And Monday night they had a separate event, and then Tuesday night they were at the Business Expo, but put on by our sponsors, the Moses Lake Chamber
mm-hmm.
of Commerce. And they brought a copy, not the $4 million robot, mind you, a version of that the company that makes it lets them bring for people to try out. So I did that. And they gave you a little round plate of little tiny cones that were maybe the size of maybe a little taller than a chocolate kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And they all had little bitty tiny rings
mm-hmm.
around the top of the cone. And the thing that you were supposed to do was take the rings off the top of the cone and put it on another cone,
mm-hmm.
which even with your fingers, it wouldn't be very easy because those little tiny
yeah.
cones are little tiny. But once you sit down at the robot, the magnifying glass, there's magnification, and I don't know how much it was, but the little tiny cones look more like cupcakes.
Mm-hmm.
And you could actually see the little tiny rings on them. And I managed to get a couple of the rings off the cones and put them on other cones without dropping them.
Very nice.
Which shows you what $4 million can do. And it was really interesting because the controls, it's not a joystick or a stick of any kind. Basically, you put... you strap in a couple of your fingers, and then you use a control that's kind of almost a little bit like your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I found, because I'm right-handed and I don't have much dexterity in my left hand, but I found that the machine helped me.
Mm-hmm.
And I could almost get the little tiny ring. I got the little tiny ring off the cone with my left hand.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get it on another cone, but I came much closer than I would have otherwise. It was very interesting. The magnification, the way that the robot moved, it could... They told us, of course, that it could do things that the human arm can't do, 360-degree motion,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. But it was really interesting how responsive it was to you.
Mm-hmm.
And how it actually helped you, and not being a surgeon, it would help a surgeon a lot more than it did me, how it helped you perform those really delicate tasks that you otherwise may not have been able to do. It was quite fascinating.
Mm, definitely. I should have gone to the Business Expo. That sounds awesome.
They may bring it back one of these days. Who knows? It was really interesting to try it.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't very many people at the demonstration. I think they had a lot more at the expo.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really the advances in technology. You see them all over, and you don't really recognize until you do see them how much they're going to impact things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to make surgery much easier for people. Now, it can't do everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's not orthopedic, which means like joints and stuff.
Yeah.
There are robots for that, but Samaritan doesn't have them. But for a lot of abdominal things, it can do that. And you no longer have to go out of town for some of that stuff. The other thing the doctor said is that recovery time is less and there's less pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, you know, I did have surgery of that sort a couple of years ago in Wenatchee, and I do know, because they used a different version of a similar robot there,
mm-hmm.
that recovery time was relatively quick and it was relatively painless.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really fun.
Well, that's good to
and
hear.
It's
a,
the last
it was...
time I'm ever going to touch a thing that costs $4 million.
Well, I mean, you never know. Maybe you'll run into like some buried treasure or something around here. But I think that's what is that going to do it for our news segment?
Pretty
week?
Much.
Alrighty.
We
awesome.
Should mention that the Moses Lake Chamber of Commerce did their business expo this year, biggest one ever.
Mm.
About 700 people attending. Jungle theme, lots of safari jackets and pith helmets and stuff. We did a story on it. It's in Thursday's paper if you want to see some of the fun pictures of some of the fun that they had.
Alrighty. Awesome. You want
to
jump into sports?
That leads us on to sports, I do believe.
Yes.
All right. The next segment of the Studio Basin podcast is brought to you by Sue's Gift Boutique at 212 West 3rd Avenue in Moses Lake. Stop by Sue's to explore a variety of items, including ladies' apparel, candles, hobo purses, items for infants, Ilse Jacobson shoes, and jewelry. Stop in and support a Columbia Basin business with local roots. And I can say she's got some cool stuff in there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Alrighty, moving into sports. We'll go chronologically this week. We'll
okay.
get started with last week's Moses Lake baseball
Plenty
and softball
to talk
games.
About.
Yes. We started Moses Lake baseball. They earned a 3-2 win over Chiawana last Friday.
Uh-huh.
Chiawana led 2-0 through the first inning. And then the Moses Lake defense really kind of locked in and held on throughout the rest of the game. The Mavericks scored 2 runs off of Chiawana errors, and then to get the 2-2 tie, that sent it into extra innings.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so in the bottom of the 8th inning, Moses Lake's defense held again in the top of the 8th inning, and then in the bottom of the 8th inning with one runner on first, Moses Lake senior Nolan Betts delivered a walk-off hit. That sent
okay.
home junior Jackson Carlos for the 3-2 win. When I was talking to Moses Lake head coach Donnie Lindgren after the game, he was mentioning how this is a very young Moses Lake team compared to last year. I think it was 8 or 9 seniors they lost off of last year's team that made the
okay.
state tournament.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, so they scheduled these kind of difficult games against a team like Chiawana to kind of see how they stack up. Against these
other...
He has
other, to like what he saw then.
Yeah, especially a game like that, getting through after, you know, not the start you want, giving up 2
mm-hmm.
runs in the top of the first inning, but to be able to respond and your defense holds on like that. You get the hits at the clutch times, being able to get runners on and runners home. Nice win for Moses Lake there. And then a couple days later, they ended up beating Sunnyside 10-0 in the opening game of the Big 9 season. And then the Mavericks host Sunnyside for a doubleheader this week, actually today.
Okay.
So, and then moving into softball, they earned a 7-2-2 win over Mount Spokane. Kind of similarly to what Lindgren said, Moses Lake softball head coach Mike Hoffhein said, it's important to play these tough non-league schedules. I know Moses Lake also plays Othello and Richland and a couple of other teams who made it to the state tournament in their
mm-hmm.
respective leagues last year. Mount Spokane placed 3rd or 4th in 3A
okay.
at their state tournament last year. So it was a good test for them to open their season. Mount Spokane went up 1-0 in the top of the first inning. A couple of innings to get the offense rolling for Moses Lake, and then they took the lead for good in the bottom of the third. 6 Mavericks drove in runs in the win. Moses Lake led 7-1 at one point, I believe. Mount Spokane added a run in the top of the 7th and actually got the bases loaded in the top of the 7th, but the Moses
Oops.
Lake defense held and didn't allow any more runs after then to earn their first win of the year. And then a doubleheader the next day, they ended up beating Hermiston and Meade. So,
okay.
And then they are at Sunnyside for a doubleheader today.
Okay.
So they're getting quickly into league play for them. So.
Yeah, both baseball and softball at Moses Lake, they have strong traditions in those sports.
Mm-hmm.
and you know the coaches and the kids have a history stretching back, and so you want to play tough in the early season so that when you get to the when you get to state or later on in the year, you've got some challenges behind you that you've surmounted.
Yeah, and even if you end up losing the game, you know, that way you have something to learn off of.
Yes.
That, okay, this is what it's like when you face a really talented pitcher
mm-hmm.
or someone who was, you know, going 3-for-4 at the plate every time they play, something
mm-hmm.
like that. So, but speaking of softball, you were at a couple of baseball and softball games over the weekend.
Gorgeous Saturday in Quincy.
Mm-hmm.
Parking lot was full.
Well, I mean, there was about a billion events there.
Yes,
so.
they were playing soccer, softball, baseball, and there was, I think, a junior wrestling tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got there, and Quincy has a big parking lot, and this is not connected to the game, but it was interesting to see. The school has that's a beautiful campus to begin
mm-hmm.
with, and it has a big parking lot, and that parking lot was full.
Yeah.
And the street along the sides of the street were full, and some of the neighborhoods near the stadium were full.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was a beautiful day. Everyone wanted
to
come out and watch the game.
Everyone wanted to come out and watch the game. It was Waluke and Quincy, which is two teams that are not that far apart.
Mm-hmm.
Quincy came in 0-2. I think it was the second game for Waluke, and they did.
And this is for baseball.
This is for baseball. And they didn't. I think they lost. Waluke, the Warriors lost their first game.
Mm-hmm.
Quincy swept both ends of that doubleheader. They won the first game 12-0, the second one 5-0. Good Quincy pitching. The Waluke coach Chet Bangs said that it was very early in the season. Some of his hitters are probably still a little, you know, behind.
Mm-hmm.
Like you are early in the season, you'll swing at pitches that aren't that good, or
so getting adjusted.
Yeah, or you'll be behind the pitch or whatever. But it was good Quincy pitching and very aggressive base running, particularly by the Jacks.
Mm-hmm.
Their coach Seth Longwell said that that's one thing they're trying to do this year, is not sit back and wait for big hits. They want to manufacture what they can when they can.
Mm-hmm.
He said something I did not know, which is that they changed bats in high school baseball.
No, did they?
Or there's a different kind of bat that a lot of schools are using, and with that particular one, there's probably less home runs
mm-hmm.
than there were. So you've got to manufacture runs when you can get them.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Quincy played, you know, like I said, very aggressive on the base paths. Good pitching. Well, Luke had some pretty good pitching. A few mistakes, not many errors. Of course, it's real early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing about the Waluke program is that this is only their second year back at varsity.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of dropped off the map, like, before 2019. They didn't have enough kids to do a varsity program. Finally, they got enough kids, started with JV, were interrupted by COVID like everybody
mm-hmm.
else. And then they've slowly been working their way back. They were just JV 2 years ago. Last year they had a varsity team. This is kind of their second try at it,
mm-hmm.
second year at it. And he was very happy with how his kids performed. There weren't a lot of mistakes, maybe not a lot of hits, but he could see the progress.
Mm-hmm.
And the Quincy coach said he was very pleased because his team, they had some runners on base, and Quincy managed to find the right out, get the strikeout, whatever,
mm-hmm.
to keep it to a shutout.
Mm-hmm.
And I also went to the softball game.
Yes.
Which at Quincy, if you've ever been to that field, which is really gorgeous, by the way, the baseball field is on one side, softball field on the other. So
yeah.
If they're both playing, you got all the ball games you want. And the Jacks also won those games. Quincy won the first one 6-2 and the second one 9-8. Again, both coaches were pretty pleased by what they saw. It was the second game of the season for Waluke.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Quincy, after that game, was 3-0. I think they had won their first game.
Yeah.
And
I think they'd beaten Tenasket before.
Good pitching again. Again, it's early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
People are swinging at pitches that they shouldn't. Or they're swinging I guess I call it swinging behind. I don't know if that's the right term.
Yeah.
But you see it coming, you just don't get it.
Yeah.
And
I was still getting warmed up.
Yeah. The Warriors took the lead in the second game, I think in the sixth inning.
Yeah.
But Quincy came back to off with some timely hitting to take the win in the seventh.
Mm-hmm.
So exciting games, fun games, beautiful day. The Quincy soccer team was also playing, and they beat Okanagan. Just a great day in Quincy. A lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I do, when I was going through all of our results from the last week or so, when I was doing our baseball roundup,
mm-hmm.
or baseball and softball roundup, I was looking at the Quincy softball team, and sophomore Hayden Morris hit 4 home runs.
Yes.
Yeah, over those 2 game span against Wall Luke. So I had to give a shout out to her.
Yes.
And
she also stole home.
Yeah. Gotcha. That's
one
heck of a day.
tiny little bobble at the plate, and she took it.
Yeah. I think she was also a state wrestler this year, so she's had a pretty good year so far in her sophomore year. But yeah, 2 home runs
good
in
athlete.
Both games. That was a pretty
that's
good day
fun.
For her.
Yeah.
Awesome. So moving into a little more softball, I was at
a
Freitas softball game against Wenatchee earlier this week. Wenatchee is the third 4A school that Freitas has played so far of their 5 games to start the year. The Tigers won 10-3. Wenatchee took a 1-0 lead in the top of the third inning, and then the Tigers tied it on a base loaded walk in that same inning, and then senior Peyton Troutman gave the Tigers a 4-1 lead on a 3 RBI double. Troutman actually batted in 5 runs in the game. So heck of a day for her.
Yes.
And then the Tigers ended up holding on for the 10-3 win. Wenatchee got the bases loaded in the bottom of in the top of the 6th inning, but the Tigers held on. Freitas pitcher Olivia Bikendova delivered a strikeout to end the inning. So she gave up a few walks, and then she said she just kind of thought, like, okay, I just need to kind of get myself in the game and get the strike where it needs to be. And she ended up striking out the Wenatchee.
That's the test. I mean, you're out there on the mound by yourself,
mm-hmm.
and nobody can help you. You
mm-hmm.
either throw the strike or you don't.
Yeah. So she ended up getting that last one to stop any attempted Wenatchee comeback.
Okay.
And then, the Tigers carried the momentum on into the 7th inning, where they ended up winning 10-3.
Cool.
So Freitas, with that win, improved to 3-2 this season, and they opened up CWAC play today on the road against Grandview. So
we're already moving. I mean, it's not even the end of March yet. We're already moving into league play.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of teams. I think most teams have. Already started their league play. But baseball, especially for the smaller leagues, most
mm-hmm.
of them are just doubleheaders on the weekend.
Oh, okay.
So you'll have usually a whole week to prepare for the doubleheader.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, sometimes you have other games thrown
right.
in there during the week, but a lot of them are weekend doubleheaders. So.
Okay.
But yeah, and then one last thing. We had the Washington Interscholastic Basketball Coaches Association All-Star Game. That was one mouthful. we had the All-Star Games last weekend at Bellevue College. There
okay.
were 4 local...
Which you went to.
No, I didn't go to it. I don't think I could have convinced them to make a trip
to
Bellevue
for
one thing. For
one thing, yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, and I think it was around the same time we were busy with a lot of other stuff around here. So, but anyway, getting back to the point.
Okay.
we had 4 local players compete in the All-Star Games in their respective classifications. You make it based on if you're
mm-hmm.
4A, 3A, etc.
Right.
Royals, and you have to be a senior to qualify, and there's
mm-hmm.
a couple of other criteria you have to meet, like you have to be
mm-hmm.
all league. They take into account your points, stuff like that. So
is there only one kid from a team?
They don't take any more than 2 kids from one team
okay.
unless it's like very special circumstances,
okay.
at least from what I read online. So
okay.
for the 1A team, there was Royal senior Caden Allred and Quincy senior Aiden Buse. And then on the 1B, and then on the 1B team, there was Jonah Robertson from Moses Lake Christian Academy, Covenant Christian School, and Soap Lake senior Trey Landeck. The 1A team defeated the 2A team 99-90, coming back from down, I think it was 17 points, if I remember correctly, from my interview. And then the 1B team didn't have that the same success. They ended up losing 120-82.
A lot of defense in those games.
Yeah,
is there?
Well, I mean, it's that's actually something that Aiden Buse said.
Yeah,
he said, I mean, it's an all-star game. People are just kind of going for highlights, you know, kind of looking cool. But it's a from what I gathered from talking with Caden, Aiden, and Jonah, they said it was just a fun weekend of getting to. I mean, it's their senior year. It's the last time they're going to be suiting up unless they're going on to play college basketball. Mm-hmm.
Last time they're going to be suiting up in high school.
Yes.
Irrespective of what happens.
Yeah.
So
fun weekend for them to be able to go over to Bellevue College and play on the floor with some of the most talented guys in their classification.
Yeah.
So,
including themselves, by the way. You don't get that for nothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So shout out to them. And if you want to read more about any of these stories, they were all in last week's edition of the Columbia Basin Herald.
Which is only a dollar.
Yes.
On the newsstands, and you can also find the stories online.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can. Alrighty, I think that's going to do it for our sports segment this week.
The Studio Basin Podcast is produced by the Columbia Basin Herald, a local newspaper serving Grant and Adams counties in Washington State. Our publisher is Clint Schroeder, and our regional general manager is Bob Richardson. Our managing editor is Rob Miller, and our reporting staff consists of me, senior reporter Cheryl Schweitzer, staff writer and paginator Joel Martin, sports reporter Ian Bavona, and staff writer Gabriel Davis. The Columbia Basin Herald is published 5 days a week in print and online. Paper's website is www.columbiabasinherald.com. To provide feedback on the paper or the podcast, please email us at editor@columbiabasinherald.com. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.